shop the best Black Friday weekend deals up to 70% off only at Tanger Outlets. Save big at Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and hundreds more. Find something for everyone on your list during our biggest sale of the year. Hundreds of brands, endless gifting options. Unwrap the best at Tanger Outlets. Stores open at 6 a.m. Black Friday. Get your savings at Tanger.com.
Please stay the course. We are dead. We are all dead.
We're supposed to make the world a better place. What happened?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not
going to
take this anymore!
I know Kung Fu.
You either die a hero, or you live long enough to see yourself become the villain.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
This whole thing is insane! This whole thing is insane!
300 years ago, you'd have been burned at the stake.
What do all men of power want? More power.
This is now the United States of Zombieland.
This whole thing is insane.
Man is evil, capable of nothing but destruction.
Everybody is stuck with the things that they're not proud of.
More power.
Welcome to the desert of the real.
More power.
There can be only one.
Are you a God-fearing man, Senator?
That's such a strange phrase. I've always thought of God as a teacher, as a bringer of light, wisdom, and understanding. You see, I think what you really are afraid of is me.
Happy heresies and bienvenidos al desierto del real. I hope everybody's doing well. I hope you're writing your own gospel and living your own myth. This is Aeon Byte. I hope you're creating better than the creator gods and their Karens and Ketamites in the establishment, because this is where we take them down, and this is where you find out who you are and what reality is not. And for those who celebrate, I hope you've had a good Thanksgiving and are surviving on this Black Friday, although we should rename it, as somebody mentioned, into Block Friday, not Black Friday, as we will see. My name is Miguel Connor, and I am your Pompidus of Gnosis. And yes, it's a Block Friday because it is always an honor and a pleasure to have back David Block, this time to discuss the third part of his latest trilogy, and that will be Decoding 2001, A Space Odyssey. David, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me, Miguel. And it's wonderful to be here as always, and I hope it will be a great show.
I'm sure it will. Like we were talking, you can't go wrong with Stanley Kubrick. He's one of the great esoteric figures in the world. And also with us, another great esoteric figure, and that is the Moondog Vance. Vance, how are you doing?
Oh, I'm pretty good. Pretty good. Looking forward to this because over the years I've seen 2001 at least 21 or 22 times. I was a real fanatic. I saw it when it came out in the movies in high school. And it's wonderful. Very familiar with this, but I'm willing to learn new things about the movie.
Now with David, that will happen. That will certainly happen. Yes, and the movie really impacted a whole generation of people. As I'm writing, Elvis was a big Stanley Kubrick fanatic, loved all of his movies. As many know, when David Bowie went, he smoked some spliffs, went to see 2001 A Space Odyssey. It also transformed his mind, his writing. His ideas just completely change. And of course, Space Oddity is inspired by 2001, A Space Odyssey. So big impact still going on even today. So we should get started for sure. As always, I see lots of people going into the chats. Good to see everybody there. Again, hope you're having a good holiday weekend. Please support with some super chats, or if after the presentation you have a question for David, please super chat them so we can get to you. On my end, yes, I want to reiterate that I believe today releasing Sophia on Soul, a project that I am part of, which is a meme coin. Right now, crypto is hot, and we thought we would do something that would benefit the Gnostic esoteric community by doing the first ever really Gnostic crypto coin. So dive into the arcane and explore the hidden mysteries of the universe with us. Sophia and Sol is the first and only meme coin of the Truther community. We do combine arcane and the arcane of esoteric with crypto meme culture. Join us and be part of the revolution. Check out the show notes and yeah, get in on it because I think it's going to do very well. Again, this is the time to do it. Other than that, let's see. I got my notes here. Yeah, I wrote about Elvis and Bowie. What else? Oh, yeah. Next week, we have a lot of shows because of scheduling and the holidays. Things got changed around, but we got some amazing shows, so please be there. An interview with the great bestseller and New Age exemplar, Gary Sukov. Paul Levy will be joining us to discuss, of course, Wetiko and quantum consciousness. We'll have a show on Jung and addiction, useful for the holidays, and other great shows. So a lot of content coming your way and in December. Other than that, I got nothing else. I want to get started with this, and let's see if we can find our inner star child after this. Let's see. I shall put up Absolutely. Your slides as we always do, David, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, and thank you, Miguel. Yeah, so this is the third part in the trilogy. It started up with Atlantis, Ishtar, and Humanis Fall. Second part was the New Testament for a New Human. And this part is, of course, the third part, and it is the coding space of the C2001. And, of course, there's a reason why I decode the space 2001 with this part. So this trilogy has a purpose, and there's a reason why this three parts is in it, of course. So this one is a massive one. We'll see how long it will take. But and it's a lot of information, so please, you will miss a lot of it in the first run, but rewatch it, see the other parts. So part 29, because these parts are after the first two parts. So we start with 29, Space of the City was in one, 30, Hell on Earth, Metal Angels, Valis, Ragnarök, Lucifer Unbound 2, End of the Rainbow, The Song of the Great Old Ones, Bones of Evolution, The New Tower of Babel, Where the Rainbow Ends, The Brain, Off with the Head, The Stargate, Turned Inside Out, Belly of the Beast, The Black Mirror, Reborn, The Last Dead, Reckoning is part 47 and the last part in this three-part series. So, A Space Odyssey 2001, a big movie, of course. And I saw it for the first time when I was 12 with some friends, and we all slept after half an hour. No one had died except an ape and a hyena, I think.
There were no explosions or cars going off the cliff or anything like that.
That was my first experience. But of course, later on, I started to see this esoteric. Yeah, yeah. And I become very interested and curious about the movie. And I've seen it a couple of times since then. So in this part, it is a massive part, a lot of information. This is the biggest part I have done, presentation I've done. And I hope you will stick with me. I'll try to wrap it up in one go, because it's good to have one finish and one end. But there are a lot of details I had to leave out, because I couldn't have it in. It was massive already. So if you want to have a second part, tell me, and I can put in the details of the decode. I have to give some credits for some people who have used heavily in this presentation. And that is Asanop Mason, Bill Duendack, Edgar Kerbel, Carl Stone, Alan Hoare Greenfield, Phil Dick, of course, Arthur C. Clarke, of course, Stanley Kubrick, Andrew D. Chamblee. And my friends, Babs, Samuel, Chester, Hunter, and Steven have helped me to find this information. This is a lot of coincidences, and many times I feel led, but anyway. First off, I had to give some shout out to Mr. Bruce Seesall, because I talked about him in many of my presentation, and he is now dead, 49 years old. He died 3 months ago, and he showed stuff on the moon, and I think they didn't like it. But that's only speculation. But he was healthy and had kids, so it's a very tragic thing. But he has helped me. He gave me a clue that really led me on to other stuff in my Decode of Spaces 2001, even though he didn't do the connection, but I did it because of his information. So I have to give him credit. So why this movie? Why did Stanley Kubrick make A Space Odyssey 2001? When we start analyze this different parts in it, we see some science fiction, of course. That's the genre. And it's an esoteric theme. So what is the connection with technology and esoteric stuff, right? And that is the metaphysical stuff. Because when technology becomes so powerful that it can take you beyond the physical, then the technology had become esoteric. Because now we can use it to go to the astral, or what's behind the curtain. Now it is an esoteric theme in combination with technology. And there is a reason why Stanley Kubrick wanted to have that theme. And it leads back to the Anunnaki god Enki, of course. Enki is the god of science and magic and water and other stuff, art and so on. And Stanley Kubrick was heavily involved with NASA, or heavy. He was involved, but on what level, I do not know. But some believe he was faking the moon landing and so on, and that's the reason why he did The Shining. I don't agree with that. I have already decoded The Shining, and I come to a different conclusion. But this is about Universe B. So you have Universe A is the material realm. Everything you can see, registered with your five senses, is Universe A. What's behind the curtain is Universe B. And I think it was Kenneth Grant who coined that phrase. And we know today that Freemason was involved with NASA's Apollo 11 moon landing. OTO was involved, and Nazis. And they all were esoteric people.
To say the least.
What happened? It's a coincidence. What a party. Why? Strange. And we have the moon landing, who are a big thing in the Space Odyssey 2001. And I will show you why. But there is a connection between all of this and Stanley Kubrick tried to put a movie together that have all these parts. He don't show you up right front all the time, but it's under the radar, so to speak. It's below the surface. The book and the movie, and this is also a statement I have to make. I think Stanley Kubrick decided that the best way to create this narrative is to have a book and a movie, and combine the best of this media, different media. So if you watch the movie and read the book, you get more out of the movie, and vice versa. So you should read the book. And I will read a lot from the book here today, because the book fill in some blank in the movie. And I think that's how Stanley Kubrick wanted you to do. I think Stanley Kubrick was a very smart man, and he knew that he cannot show all in a movie. But if you combine a book with a movie, you get the more a bigger picture. As a result, there is a more closer parallel between book and movie than usually the case. both there are also major differences in the movie. The destination of the spaceship Discovery was Iapetus, a moon on Saturn, most enigmatic of Saturn's many moons. Therefore, it didn't point the way to Jupiter, but to Iapetus, the moon on Saturn. And that is in the book A Space Odyssey 2001, One Warship. Between book and movie, then, it's usually the case. There are more parallels. It is good to watch previous works I have done. So if you don't understand it all, I recommend you to go back to my previous lectures or presentations. My Decode of the Shining, for example. The Apocalyptic Time Clock Matrix, Necromancy and the Search for Eternity, part 1 and 2 in this series, of course, and the Watcher series. Now, you might not have time to watch all of that, of course, and I will try to make it understandable even without it. But, of course, it will be very hard, but I will do my best. And you will for certain have some to take with you after this presentation. Nevertheless. So, this is part Hell on Earth. There is a connection between the movie A Space Odyssey 2001, The Shining and Eyes Wide Shut, and people don't see it right away, but there is a connection between them. And I think he made them very purposefully, and that they points to a bigger narrative if you combine them into one whole. And I try to do some connections here today, but I can further that connection and I can decode Eyes Wide Shut as well later on if you want to. And we could revisit The Shining again and show you more clearer connection between them. And Stanley Kubrick wanted to do another movie, AI, after Eyes Wide Shut, but he died 70 years old. So therefore, Steven Spielberg took over the project. But that movie is also a connection to these three movies. And A Clockwork Orange. But A Clockwork Orange I have in brackets. It's not really, really. But if I have to show shows a couple of movies that I have connection by Stanley Kubrick, it is A Space Odyssey 2001, Shining, and Eyes Wide Shut, and AI. He didn't made it, but I think I will show you some connection here today. So this is in the book A Space Odyssey 2001. After the story, they talk about this movie and the book. Well, when Voyager 1 took the first photograph of Iapetus, they did indeed disclose a large clear-cut white oval with a tiny black dot at the center. Carl Sagan promptly sent me a print from the Jet Propulsion Laboratory with the cryptic annotation, "Thinking of you." I do not know whether to be relieved or disappointed that Voyager 2 has left the matter still open. That is to say that they think it can be artificial structure on Iapetus, the moon on Saturn, and that it is not disclosed. Now we're talking about another phenomena that I want to connect to the movie. I don't have time to do it all the way today, so this is a very short version, and I can't show point you to any details of it. But this is the overarching theme. George Ellery Hale, born in 1868, an eccentric solar astronomer, was mentioned in the popular cult TV show The X-Files in regards to the Palomar Mountain Observatory in Temecula, California. From 1948 until recently, it was the largest telescope in the world. Fox Mulder, a character in the show, said this idea was presented while Hale was playing billiards and an elf climbed in his window and told him to get money from the Rockefeller Foundation for a telescope. Very close to this Palomar mountain, another very strange incident happened. This famous Heaven Gate incident, where the Hale-Bopp comet was supposed to come past Earth, and they would commit suicide to get on that comet. And it was only 17 miles away from Palomar, and 39 took suicide. And they had shoes on with Nike. I think it was Nike, wasn't it? You see the Saturn's ring on the shoes, and they were purple, I think. Sacrifice to Saturn, right? But all of this is a much bigger story, and it ties into Stanley Kubrick and his movie Space Odyssey 2001. But I cannot show you the connection here today, but I can dive much deeper into it than before. And I think Hell on Earth was a person, and I thought that person was George Ellery Hale and an artificial intelligence. But he wanted to show you a bigger picture here. That's my claim, and I'll try to show you some connections if you want to have a part two. Metal Angels, part 31. So, a very interesting person, Bill Duvendack, of course, a left-hand path practitioner. He made some invocation to Enochian angels and used a method to get in contact with these beings. He didn't know they were metal angels when he started his communication with them, but that's what he found out later on. And he says, over the last few decades, the heavy metal band Judas Priest has incorporated metallic science fiction style angels into the artwork, and the message I received was that they trapped into and helped develop a particular egregore with that. And in a lot of ways, it is evolutionary from an occultism point of view, for it advances our vision of angels. The image that appeared in the showstone shortly after the completion of this message was a gray metallic winged angel. And this is a new spirit family Bill Duvendack come in communication with. And from it, a lot of information came about our time today and what's to come. They seem to be metallic and modern, with traces of technology present, and seems to be of a different mental disposition than the commonly known Enochian spirits. This being seems to have more metallic overtones to them, with everything from metal wings to being made of metal themselves. A lot of technology and science fiction in combination with this angel beings. In profile, I saw a face that was aquatic and reptilian and seemed like something that would be a cross between the reptilian, humanoid, and some sort of sea creatures. The thought that went through my mind was the Cthulian god Dagon. And this Cthulian god will come up over and over in this presentation. Pouring out, it became the ocean of the planet. As I watched the water settle into becoming the oceans, I saw the head of Leviathan rising out of the ocean. And I understood the connection between him and Cthulhu. Connection between Leviathan in the Bible and this great old ones. The best mythos they fit within, other than the Enochian mythos, is that of the Typhonian mythos written about extensively in the writings of Kenny Grant. We did not set out to discover these beings, which is a point I feel should be reinforced here. And this is the great old ones. Hope Lovecraft write about them extensively, right? It's that kind of being, our ancient gods, the Titans. And I talked about them a lot. and they are supposed to be the evil ones, of course. I don't really agree with that, but I will come to that. So in the book, in A Space of the City for Someone, we have chapter 43 called Inferno. And it says like this. Now you come back to this part. So if you don't remember it, I will remind you. And some information I will go take over and over again, because it's quite long presentation. If there were, this is chapter 43, Inferno, from the book A Space Odyssey 2001. If they were organized entities, they were leviathans indeed, built to match the scale of the world they inhabited. Perhaps they were only clouds of plasma, and plasma I talked about in the second part in the series, given temporary stability by some odd combination of natural forces, like the short-lived sphere of ball lightning, still puzzled terrestrial scientists. Those glittering nodes of light knew where they were going. They were deliberately converging upon the pillar of fire raised by the white dwarf as it orbited overhead. That is to say, this plasma had intelligence, life. And that is exactly what I argue for in part two. And here you have it in A Space of 2001 in chapter 43. Back to Bill Duvendek and his metal angels. After this understanding, I saw that I was standing behind a table alongside other humanoid aliens from across the cosmos. They were all very bland, whereas I was colorful in some strange way. And I felt like all of us were being judged. Right before the vision ended for the night, I thought I heard the word fidelity. Then the vision ended. Now, fidelity you might recognize from Eyes Wide Shut. There is also, actually, this is from a internet, from a site on internet. There's also the actual password, Fidelio, which immediately makes us think of the word fidelity, faithfulness. This is evidently not at the top of the list of priorities of the party hosts. And he's talking about the Eyes Wide Shut, of course, this movie, and the party thrown there where they have orgies and stuff like that. And back to Bill Duvendek for a last time. As my vision cleared from that, I saw some sort of doom or cap being placed on top of the planet, keeping most things contained. This cap and the globe under it changed to look like the head of Lamb again. Lamb is a god. Aleister Crowley is talking about him. Kenneth Grant's talking about it. The dome on the earth flashed back into vision again, and I saw some sort of clock placed above the dome and received the message, those who are the mechanics of the gods. Bill Duvendek. Now we are talking about technology in combination with the gods. And of course, we start to think about Wallace maybe, and Phil Dick. And this is part 32, Wallace. Alan Greenfield writes about Wallace. The late Phil Dick, in his last Gnostic allegorical fiction, eventually settled on the name Wallace, or vast active living intelligence system, for this being or demiurge. He wrestled through his literary career and secret life as a Christian Gnostic philosopher with whatever Wallace was, a benevolent, if machine-like, deity of sort, or an insane extraterrestrial supercomputer. Then I would say he's correct in his way of thinking, because I have drawn the conclusion that it is both. Therefore, if I would talk about Wallace, I would say that you have this planets in our solar system, and the gods or the plasma is like a software, and the planets are a ship. And they can take over or twist the ship through the software. And then they have picked it with technology placed on these planets. Therefore, Val is a combination of gods, aliens, or whatever, spirits, and technology. And that technology you will find on the moon. I think you have found it on Mars, or find it on Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, and the sun in brackets. But this technology is aimed at our sun. Therefore, I think Phil Dick was onto something very real. The same system can be used to switch on or off, or to overcome it. So you can use valves to start it up and do it in reverse, to re-engineer it and use it for the opposite effect. It's like on and off. And I think the Esoteric Elite tried to do that. Or take control over Wallis, or are in control of Wallis, but Wallis have been damaged through some apocalyptic incidents in our past history. But I think they are the one who have some sort of control of Wallis, I would argue. And this Wallis bent light through a prism, therefore the light we see is distorted, it is twisted, and we cannot see through the illusion. And I think we have to add the mental manipulation we as a species have been gone through, like telling us that we are only animals, that the moon is a dead rock in the sky, all of that, food, water, they come at us with everything they got.
Yeah.
It's not only this, it's never only one thing. Please think in terms of many factors, but I think Wallis is one of them, and I think Phil Dick was on to something.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Stanley Kubrick knew that as well. Back to Alan Greenfield. What is sometimes called the Black Lodge, which we may associate with the Gnostic Demiurge or Phil Dick's Wallis, is generated to keep humanity in a state of materialist trance and evolutionist stagnation. The UFO cult have clearly influenced even Kenneth Grant's so-called Typhonian audio, which appears to use valid magical currents to pursue the hideous old ones of H.P. Lovecraft's fictional Cthulhu mythos. And of course, only because I use this author, I don't agree with everything they say. I am on par with Kenneth Grant and those people here, because I am a left-hand part practitioner, and I will try to argue my case here. And you absolutely don't have to agree, but I will show you how I argue, how I see it. There is a phenomena here in Scandinavia, or our mythology, we call Draenorik. The end of the gods, the end of Earth, the end of humanity. Not really right, but it is an apocalyptic incident back in time. And I think it was a real incident. I think it was the end of Atlantis. Now, there are many ends of different Atlantis periods. So Atlantis ends and restart, ends and restart. So you can say that we are in an Atlantis circle as we speak. At least the Watchers refer to Atlantis as more than one period in time. So they've repaired or repaired, they have ended one circle and then started another one. So you can say Atlantis 1, Atlantis 2, and Atlantis 3, and so on. And of course, this ties in with the Kali Yuga cycles and the Veda and Hindu scriptures. Why do I mention this in combination with Space Odyssey 2001? Well, it's interesting. It starts with the apes, but then in the movie says dawn of humanity. I am well aware of that, so don't jump on me. But it doesn't mean that Stanley Kubrick didn't say that we went in circles, because this can be the dawn of humanity, but they can have thrown this bone, becoming a starship, a spaceship, many times, and this is only the latest circle. Second, I'm not saying that we go back to an ape-like state in form, but an ape-like state because we lose speech, have hard communicate, have to start all over. And we know that if you have never been into civilization before, never learn how to speak, that's center close in your brain when you're 4 or 5 years old, and then you can't learn how to speak. It's gone. Therefore, if you're brought up in the forest, away from the civilization, you will be a completely different human. You will be like in an ape-like state. Now, I don't claim that Stanley Kubrick do this, but I want to bring it up because it adds some layer to it later on. Because I think they rediscover on Moon on Iapetus what had been put there by previous generations of humans. With the help of the aliens, so-called. So I have not forgot about them. I'll be going back to that.
Okay. We'll keep you. We'll make sure you do.
Great, Miguel. Yeah, in
ground previous control to Major Tom. We'll make sure. Major Block.
This sounds great. Yeah, so we have this Stargate system, and I've talked about it before. And I think the Stargate system, or this control grid, was put up on the moon. Our sun, not technology in of itself, but the technology is aimed at our sun and Saturn. And in the book Space 2, Odyssey 2001, it is aimed at Iapetus, one of the moons on Saturn. And it's stated very clearly. And I also argue in the second part, or first, even the first part, that the moon comes from an explosion from Tiamat. Tiamat, the planet Tiamat, exploded, and they took one of the the asteroids from that asteroid ring and placed it where the moon are now. And that rock became the moon, and then they add technology to that moon.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sail good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details. Save big money at
Menards. And there are being spirits who claim that the moon is hollow. And that would make sense, because yeah, sometimes it rings like a bell.
It does. Yeah.
So the moon is not what it seems to be. I think it's an hollowed out asteroid with technology added to it. Now, people have asked me, what do you mean by Lucifer chained? And I will try to explain it in a better way, because it's very important for this presentation that you understand that concept. And I will give it another go. So imagine a box within a box. You have one inner box and one outer box. You can go into the inner box and open it, as long as you have the spark, your soul intact. But if you don't have your soul spark intact, you cannot come into the inner box, but the outer one. There you will find the esoteric elite. You will find Hal. You will find Valis. You will find the Stargate system. Alan Greenfield called them the Black Lodge. I call them the esoteric elite. Why have they lost the possibility to open the inner box? Because they have lost the soul. They have lost the spark. They rely heavily on technology because our hopes is the last thing that we give up. Hope is the last thing we just abandon. And Valis is their hope, if we call it that, to take it over. Now, because they know that you can reach the inner box through esoteric method to with transformation, what they are saying is this: we have chained Lucifer. This is our box. We have chained this box. It is not for you to play with this box. And we will try to open the inner box. Meanwhile, you keep out. This is our box to play with. Because they don't want you to wake up. They want to keep you in the dark while they play with this box. This is Lucifer chained. Lucifer unbound is when you reach the inner box and open it up like a cube, and you get the cross. This is a hypercube, right? Box within the box. So the inner box, you will find the spirit plane, the spiritual plane with the fixed stars like Sirius. Sirius is a fixed star. Therefore, Sirius is outside our solar system. To reach Sirius, you have to go through the mental plane. An even longer way out. And you have to go through the astral plane. And the astral plane I call the astral plane a black sea. Because it's so dense with spirits, dark stuff. So when you go there, you will be attacked, you will be confronted, you will be scared and maybe back off. What I tell you is to push forward and overcome your fears, transform yourself, become an experienced boatman to reach the inner box and open it. And the esoteric elite will do everything they can to keep you out from the inner box. They will use technology. They will scare you. They will tell you that it cannot be done. They will use propaganda, poison you, poison your temple, because your temple is the connection to your spark and your spirit. If they succeed to destroy your temple, they have you. You need it. You need to use it to transform it from lead into gold. Become a boatman, become a magical mirror, go over to the other side, take back what's yours. I hope it's clear what I mean. But to hammer it home a little bit more, let's go into part 34 and Lucifer Unbound 2. And I will do a little bit more with this one. And this is the description of part 2. We did on Eon Byte. Humanity have been in a fallen state since the destruction of Atlantis. Every step humanity have taken since then seems to be a step downwards, tumbling towards matter. The material breadcrumbs can be found in myths and legends. We can also find the spark to set us free in them and through them. Therefore, what I argue, it's not that we evolve as such, but we have to remember who we were. We are in a state of, we have forgotten our past, forgotten who we really are. It is a remembrance and take it back. We have come to an evolutionary standstill. Open the hypercube and you will unfold the cross, and it will be a three-dimensional cross. And this is the cover of Philip K. Dick's Vales. Unfold the cross, unfold the cube, and you will have the cross and access to the spiritual world, Lucifer Unbound. So, a quote from Lucifer himself. It is not power you seek, but remembrance of who you are. You have everything you need. Now you have to remember that you have everything you need and start to transform. Because nothing is given for free. There is a reason why you have to do the work. With the work comes the wisdom you need to understand Vales, to understand the esoteric elite, to understand its forces. And it is through the work you will have the wisdom not to become like them, because then you will be a danger to other species. That's them have become a danger to us. You have to go through the darkness, transform it, understand what it means to evolve. What is at stake? For humanity, it's about evolution. Evolution goes through the metaphysical. Cannot be done in any other way. Not real evolution. Technology evolve us and take us far, but not all the way. In the end, we have to go into our ourself, our temple, our body. It is either evolution or devolution. The esoteric elite's plan to transform us to become androids under Vales, and that is devolution. Further devolution from where we are now. This is the choices, and humanity will not have any choice but to choose between these paths. According to me, we will come to that fact quite soon. Part 35, End of the Rainbow. And I will do some connection between his movies here, but I can further make those connections, but for this presentation I can't go too deep into this, just enough for you to see them. And you have Tom Cruise's character talking to these beautiful ladies on this party, and the ladies goes, "Don't you want to go where the rainbow ends?" Sounds great. And people talking about this silly childish way of view that, right? It's a treasure nearer.
Right, right.
Of course, that's not what Stanley Kubrick is talking about at all. He's talking about a complete different thing. So if you think Stanley Kubrick was a moron, of course you think he's talking about child tales and so on. You don't look any further. I know he's talking about complete different things. In the movie I saw I shot, it is a Christmas theme. And people might wonder, why Christmas? What's going on there? Well, Christmas is a busy consumption week or weeks where people running around buying stuff because they are occupied in the materialistic world, where beside them, in the same city, you have the esoteric elite who want to pursue metaphysical endeavors. They keep us busy with materialistic nonsense, but they themselves worship the star in the evergreen tree, and that star is Sirius. But you, the humanity, are crawling in the feet of the evergreen tree to have presence as children. Keep them busy with nonsense and we can put this in front of them. We can show them the truth, but they will never understand it. Give them comfort, and it gives them a reason to say, look, they are like children, and we can do whatever we want with them. Doesn't matter if you show them the truth, they will never understand anymore. You can show them upright front. We are doing almost.
Right.
And of course, you have this note, Fidelio, and I already talked about that. And that's a good point. In combination with Bill Levin doing the metal angels, I think we will be judged very soon. And we have to do the work to overcome these forces. Let's celebrate Christmas in their own way. And in the movie, here they have the, in Eyes Wide Shut, of course, you have the rainbow connection there. Remember the rainbows in Eyes Wide Shut. Was at the end of the rainbow. And there is a connection to this in the movie Shining as well. But this one, to spot it, you have to be very good. Have some esoteric knowledge. Because the room 237 is the moon room. And I can prove it. It's not hard. Room 237 is the moon room. And of course, 2 times 3 times 7 is 42. And Danny goes into the moon room and confronts Lilith. And I know it's Lilith because Lilith is the strangler of children. And she has strangled Danny. Therefore, I know this is the moon room. And the connection between the moon room and the gold room. And the gold room, of course, the hotel, this bar, where the elite is at, having drinks and Jack drinking whiskey and so on. That's the gold room. That's the sun room. And the connection between the moon room and the sun room is card number 14, the tunnel that connects them. And you have this green lady, Ishtar, or Isis, in green, beautiful cloth. And behind her, you see a rainbow. And it is not I who says so. It is Aleister Crowley himself who describe his deck of cards. Therefore, I know it's a rainbow. And it should be a rainbow. Because you have to go over the rainbow to go from the moon room to the sun room or the gold room in the shining. This is into the Clifotic tree and the tree of life. Now we'll talk more about it and try to explain it a little bit more later on. But this is, of course, the gold room with this beautiful sun in the roof, right? I don't know if this is from the movie, but it's a good representation. And you know what I mean. Now, in The Shining, we know that Jack is stuck in the hotel because he's referred to, you have always been the caretaker. He's stuck. He can't go away from the hotel. The hotel is Hotel California. Hal is also stuck because he's an artificial intelligence. He is head or brain only. As I said, he's part of Valis. Technology doesn't have a soul, doesn't have a spark. But Hal Valis can take the astronaut in the movie Space 2001 quite far, but not all the way. And he don't want to take them all the way either. Part 36, a song of the great old ones. So who are these gods, the great old ones, the Cthulian gods? Hope Lovecraft was writing about them, and this book is quite famous, and they are considered chaotic and dangerous, and lurking beneath the surface, and lurking in the waters, and so on. One of these gods name is Azathoth. And that's the main one. Azathoth, the insane idiot god, doesn't start good here, but wait a little bit. The idiot god is described as a prime chaos, dwelling in the center of infinity, lord of the universe and the supreme god of the great old ones. Donald Tyson, in his Necronomicon, where he identifies Azathoth with the sphere of the sun and with the numerical value of 666. Azathoth radiates waves of energy, light, and heat. All this constitutes the overall theory of Azathoth as a nuclear chaos, residing in the center of the universe, emitting chaotic and aimless radiation into all possible directions, creating, destroying, and mutating everything on its way. This theory owes its popularity to enthusiasm of chaos principle and quantum physics. And of course, here it's very important to point out mutations, spreading mutations, spreading sound, energies, and so on. So in A Space Odyssey 2001, creating, destroying, and mutating everything on its way is a very interesting thing. Sun 666, the black sun. And I will point it out where it is in Space Odyssey 2001 later on, but it is there. Waves of energy, light, and heat, nuclear chaos, sound, flute, vibrations. I will come back to the flute thing very soon. And the sound. Flutes of madness. Information about the piping of the demonic flute, which appear almost every time when Azathoth is mentioned, can be found in Donald Tyson's Necronomicon. In the book, the author tells a legend explaining why the sound of the flute is so irritating and abhorrent to human ears. The reason is that the flute is cracked. When Azathoth blew the first great note, the force of the sound was so powerful that even the flute could not withstand it and cracked. Since that time, all that Azathoth creates with the sound of the flute is imperfect and contains the elements of chaos within. What is that all about? Flute of madness. Material things cannot be perfect and whole. Only pure energy, amorphous and invisible, can be considered perfect, which is symbolically represented by the breath flowing with the sound of the flute. Even Azathoth is imperfect. Following this point of view, all that exists in the objective and subjective universe is imperfect. Only the void and its order are flawless. Therefore, we have to go back where no distortion exists. Go back to the womb to be reborn again in a more perfect state. In the Space Odyssey 2001, that means that the ship is imperfect. Hal is imperfect. The humans is imperfect. Universe A is imperfect. Following this point of view, similarities between Azathoth and Pan, another god that is very important, Aleister Crowley's teaching, Kenneth Grant's teaching, the Knight of Pan typifies the light of Nox. Pan is the mediator who guides his followers through gates of darkness, chaos, and night. It is the Knight of Pan that typifies the light of Nox, sphere of primordial chaos, prime materia that exists before the act of creation, aimless realms of all possibilities. Had to go back to all possibilities to create something new. So the apes see this slab, this monolith, and of course that's very cool. I thought it was very nice because it becomes very strange when you have primitive apes playing around with bones and shit, and then a monolith comes along. It's like, oh shit, this is science fiction.
Right.
It's not a movie about nature. This is a very cool scene. And very well made, if I may say so. So, you have this Edgar Kerbal, and he was written a book very recently. And he is writing, Kerbal's magic was visceral, instinctual, and intrinsically tied to the act of creation itself. The red gods are the slumbering Asatoth, where entities of pure sonic energy existing as living embodiment of sound, waves, frequencies, and vibration. The red gods perceive the universe as a symphony of vibrations, every atom, every thought, every star resonating with its own unique frequencies. Maya, a planet shrouded in crimson twilight, is home not only to the slumbering entity Asatoth, but also to pantheon of lesser yet no less enigmatic deities. These are the red gods, being of pure sonic energy. They are the embodiment of Emma Yas, primal chaotic heart, their voice a symphony of disharmony and unsettling beauty. Edgar Kerbal. And he have used a method, an Aztec method, to come in contact with these spirits, gods, and so on. Edgar Kerbal drawn to Emma by his experiments of sonic sorcery, and became aware of the red gods not but for sound, visions, and dreams. As he ventured deeper into the planet's desolate landscape, he began to hear them whisper at the edge of perception, rhythmic pulses resonating with his very being. These were not the comforting sound of nature, but something ancient, alien, and profoundly unsettling. And this is a picture from his book. And you can see a black slab or a monolith or whatever you want to call it. The magic of the red gods was not a system to be learned, but a force to be experienced, channeled, and ultimately controlled. It was a dangerous dance on the edge of oblivion, a testament to the awesome and terrifying power of sound itself. And this picture is about the invisible frequencies of the seventh tower, is the title of it. And you can see it looks very similar as the black monolith in the movie Space Odyssey 2001. And comes up from the ocean, the black ocean, I would say, from the astral. And to go back to the Stargate here. Now, there are many ways to go with the astral and beyond. But Edward Kerbal's way of using sound and vibration is very interesting. But you can use technology as well, at least to reach to Saturn and Iapetus. And now we are going to follow the spaceship of Space Odyssey 2001 very soon. Part 37, Bones of Evolution. Now we go back to the ape situation here. What happens to them in the book? It's very interesting that I think it's a coincidence, but it's a very, very good symbology for the apes to use bones, because bones is connected to Cain. And we talked about Abel and Cain in the first part. And Cain is the wanderer, the explorer, and the traveler. Abel was the farmer. And of course, Cain was a farmer as well, but he became this wanderer, explorer, because he didn't want to bend his knee and work in the farm and eat potatoes all his life. He wants something more. And he was kicked out from paradise. And that was a very good thing, of course. And the path of Cain's symbology is bones. The crossed bones of the pirate, for example, it's the crossed bones. And they are traveler on sea. And we have to be explorers. You don't have to travel in the material, but at least you have to travel in the metaphysical. You have to be a traveler. You have to be an explorer. You have to be curious. You have to know new things and discover new truths. Otherwise, you have come to stand still. You have ended up on Abel's farm and been a useful tool for the machine in society. So this is from the book A Space Odyssey 2001. Now, let's follow these apes for a while. And then there came a sound which Moonwatcher could not possibly have identified, for it had never been heard before in the history of the world. It was the clank of metal upon stone. It was a rectangular slab that three times his height, but narrow enough to span with his arms, and it was made of some completely transparent material. And of course, now the slab have entered the story. They were still 100 yards from the new rock when the sound began. It was barely audible, yet it stopped them dead, so that they stood paralyzed on the trail with the jaws hanging slackly. A simple, maddeningly repetition vibration, it pulsed out from the crystal and hypnotized all who came within its spell. For the first time and the last for 3 million years, the sound of drumming was heard in Africa. Totally entranced, they gathered round the monolith, forgetting the hardship of the day, and as the shadow lengthened and the light rained from the sky, the crystal began to glow, and all heard single pulse, single pure sounds of varying pitch that swiftly sank below the level of hearing. And that night, the crystal slab was still waiting, surrounded by its pulsing aura of light and sound. The program it had contrived, however, was now subtly different. It seemed to be a thing possessed, struggling against some spirit or demon who had taken over control of his body. It was panting for breath, and his eyes were full of terror as he tried to force his fingers to make movements more complex than any that they had ever attempted before. So, you have these apes, and in the movie, you have this wonderful scene, of course, it's throw up the bone into the sky, and it's shift into the spaceship.
Yeah.
Beautiful done for the time, of course, and very cool. And it's a perfect symbol for the path of Cain, because now they have become explorers in space. Humanity have all evolved. And for example, we have this man, Terence McKenna, and Terence McKenna is talking about the stoned ape theory, right? So his idea is that apes evolved to humans because they start to take a lot of drugs. Well, might be the truth, but he forgot the most important part of the story, and that is when humans get in contact with spirits that help them evolve, they take a giant leap forward. And the drugs can help them to get in contact with these forces, but it is the spirits that help us evolve. The genetic stuff, they say that Enki genetically manipulated us and so on. I take that as a symbology, because your DNA will change when your knowledge base change and your intellect change and when you start to be able to speak. The DNA goes with it. So this splicing and dicing, I don't know about that. Maybe. Now in the movie, they have this beautiful spaceship, and in part 38, I call it the New Tower of Babel. That's the spaceship. I consider it to be a Tower of Babel. A little bit different, but still though. And you have this tarot card, the tower, number 60, where the lightning struck the tower. And of course, this has a symbology and a meaning attached to it. The tower is widely associated to danger crisis, sudden change, destruction, higher learning, and liberation. The rider white deck, the top of the tower is a crown. We symbolize materialistic thought being bought cheap, down costs. And I will say the ship is struck by lightning later on when they open the Stargate. After the tower card, number 16, you have another very beautiful card, and it's card number 17. And that's, for me, the most important part in the deck. And if I remember correctly, Miguel, your wife called it Sophia.
That is correct, yes.
And that is a perfect choice. You see, the star is Sirius. And you have a lady pouring water, astral water. Meaning you have to be able to manipulate the astral water, to travel through the astral water to reach Sirius. 33 is a very important number for Sirius. If you add 16 to 17, you got 33. And the ship is on the way to Iapetus. First to the moon, but they are there to open, that will open a stargate that will take them beyond our solar system and further into the metaphysical and universe B. But first they have to be struck by lightning. First, the astronauts have to shed the tower, because technology cannot take him all the way. In and of itself, but it is an inner journey he has to do to reach the inner box. Now the ship will take him there, but it is him through his body he will transform. Part 39, where the rainbow ends. So now I will take you to where the rainbow ends. And in the movie, they come to this beautiful artificial structure with the slab in it, or the monolith. And of course, I want to make it clear that both in the book and in the movie, they have bases on the moon. It's not like a secret. And this, of course, is 2001. But what I will argue here is that Stanley Kubrick knew that they had bases on the moon, and it wasn't not a science fiction thing. So we have an effect called the Jewel Handle effect. Observer's note: when the Sunrise Terminator is located at Sinus Iridum, and the R-shaped Montes Jura, and the arc-shaped Montes Jura, the jeweled handle effect is in its full glory, This is a remarkable clear obscura phenomena described by Sir Patrick Moore in his Moon books. The dual handle effect is one of the most binocular friendly lunar clear obscura phenomena. You really don't need a powerful telescope to observe it.
Hey, shining crazy diamonds. Please subscribe for the second part of this interview. It certainly helps grow this Red Pill cafeteria. What's more, beyond getting the second half, you get content earlier and don't have to worry about flapdoodle commercials here or on other public platforms. So please become a Red Circle sub, Patreon, or AB Prime member for the full consciousness expanding gnosis. At Patreon, I have tiers as low as $1 or $3 a month. And at Red Circle, it's a clean $4.99 a month to stream all full shows. All subs include a dedicated private stream that works on most apps. Don't forget the Gnostic Tarot, which is selling well and optimizing spiritual growth based on the feedback I've gotten, and the Virtual Alexandria Academy. I can't do it without you. Thanks for being here. Thanks for being yourself, your true self, here in the desert of the real. Hello and goodbye, as always.
It's finally here. Stop into Menards for amazing Black Friday deals. A 54-inch giant snow tube is only $9.99 each. Ladies' slippers are just $6.99 a pair. And a men's heated jacket is $49.99. Ah, there's so many great Black Friday deals. I can't list them all. You'll have to hurry to Menards while supplies last to get these and many more Black Friday deals. Sale good Black Friday through December 1st. See Menards.com for details. Save.